නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස. Hello, this is Lal from purethamma.net. Many people believe that just living a moral life or cultivating sila is enough to attain nibbana or permanent happiness. That idea itself is a micchaditthi or a wrong view. That idea is also called silabbata paramasa and is one of the sanyojana removed at the sotapanna stage. In the previous four desanas, we mainly concentrated on the first two suttas delivered by the Buddha, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta and the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta. Here we will also discuss a couple more, including the Mahachattarisika Sutta, which really emphasizes the need to go beyond sila and to cultivate paññā or wisdom by comprehending tilakkhana. I have discussed the key ideas of the sutta in the post Mahachattarisika Sutta, Discourse on the Great 40. Here we will discuss more details and also its connection to Tilakkhana. There are 40 factors discussed in the Sutta. 20 of those contribute to paths that lead to bad outcomes and bad rebirths. Then there are 10 factors that will lead to good rebirths. Finally, there are 10 more factors that will lead to Nibbana. So those are the 40 factors discussed in the sutta. One may wonder why there are 10 factors or 10 steps to Nibbana, since we talk about the eightfold path all the time. Sammaditti, Sammasankappa, Sammavacha, Sammakammanta, Sammajiva, Sammavayama, Sammasati and Sammasamadhi. The eightfold path is for those who are working on attaining Nibbana. That includes everyone all the way up to the Anagami stage. When one completes the Noble Eightfold Path, one gets to the Sammajnana step, which then automatically leads to the step of Sammavimutti or the full release. So when one completes the Noble Eightfold Path and attains the arahanthood, then one has automatically completed all 10 steps. Now in the sutta, the Buddha starts off by saying that sammaditti is foremost about getting rid of wrong views about this world. Then he lists the 10 types of micchaditti that we have discussed in several posts. These are the following wrong views. There are no karmic benefits in giving, that paying back debts is not necessary, that there are no benefits of respecting noble ones and also those with high moral qualities. There are no benefits of taking care of one's mother and father, that this world does not exist, that there is no paralava with Gadnabbas, and that there are no opapathika or instantaneous births in other realms, and that there are no noble persons or yogis who can see past lives. If one has one or more of these dittis or wrong views, then one is on the wrong path. When one removes all 10 types of micchā ditti, one gets to sammā ditti. Then the Buddha says in this sutta that there are two kinds of sammaditti. One is mundane and still has cravings or asavas. The key point is that one cannot get rid of the cravings until one sees the anicca nature and cultivates the yathabhuta jnana, as we discussed in the last desana. Therefore, the noble version of sammaditti is free of cravings and does not have any sanya vipallasa, and that is the first factor in the Noble Eightfold Path. Without the right vision or sammaditti, one cannot start on the noble path. one has to see the unfruitful nature of worldly things and that they cannot bring a permanent happiness in the long term. So the Buddha specifically says, one who has sammaditti of the first kind, or the one still with cravings, has removed the 10 types of micchaditti. So both types of people with sammaditti have removed the 10 types of micchaditti. But the Buddha says that the ones on the mundane path still have cravings, and therefore their meritorious deeds are contaminated by those cravings, even if they are not aware of that. They do not have the anicca sanya. But those who are on the noble path have gained wisdom or panya by seeing tilakkana, and therefore they are on the way to lose all types of cravings. An important clue for the difference between the two types of good paths comes when discussing the two types of samma vacha and the two types of samma kammanta in that sutta. There are four akusala done by the speech: lying, slandering, harsh speech, and empty talk or gossiping. These are called vachi ducharita in Pali, which can be translated as immoral speech. So the important point here is that in the Chattarika Sutta, the Buddha says, one is on the mundane eightfold path when one makes a determination to stay away from such immoral speech or vachi ducharita. The exact verse from that sutta is, katamancha bhikkave samma vacha sasava punabhagya upadive pakha musavada veramani pisunaya vachaya veramani parusaya vachaya veramani sampappalaya veramani ayam bhikkave samma vacha sasava punabhagya upadive pakha. In English, it says, what bhikkhus is right speech that is affected by cravings but are still meritorious? Abstinence from false speech, abstinence from slandering, abstinence from harsh speech, abstinence from gossip or empty speech. That bhikkhus is right speech that is meritorious but has hidden cravings. So what is the difference in the Noble Eightfold Path? Again from the Sutta, Buddha says, katamancha bhikkave samma vacha ariya anasava lokuttara magganga yachako bhikkave ariya chittassa anasava chittassa ariya magga samangino ariya maggang bhaviyatho chatuhi vachi duccharitehi ආරති විරති පටිවිරති වේරමණි අයම් භික්ඛවේ සම්මා වාචා ආර්යා අනාසවා ලෝකුත්තර මග්ගංග. So in English that says, what bhikkhus is right speech that is noble, pure and super mundane, a factor of the noble path. And these are the English translation of the Pali words: not liking, staying away from, will not do with any attachments, and abstinence from the four kinds of verbal misconduct by one whose thoughts are noble, whose mind is losing cravings, and therefore is on the noble path. That is right speech, that is noble, and that is a factor of the noble path. This is a key point that most translators miss. They of course translate the Pali words but fail to understand the significance of those Pali words. The key Pali words in the above verse are arati, virati, pativirati and veramani. Rati in Pali and Sinhala means something like liking or craving. When one starts comprehending tilakkana, one begins to see that dasa akusala as things to be afraid of. On the other hand, someone on the mundane path knows that they are bad But the real dangers of dasa akusala have not sunk into the mind. Arati is the first stage of seeing adina or dangers in dasa akusala. Virati is the next stage where it becomes even more clear. Both arati and virati are developed by a sotapanna anugami. One really breaks bonds or sanyojana and gets to the pativirati stage with the sotapanna phala moment. Pativirati means will not do with even a trace of liking. For example, the non-killing precept followed by a sotapanna is panatipata pativirato hoti, or I will not take a life with even a trace of liking. Therefore, the comprehension of tilakkhana, the cultivation of the sotapanna anugami stage, and then the transition to the sotapanna stage is a gradual process. Some people get there faster than others. The Veramani stage is the one achieved by an arahant. And at that stage, there is absolutely no possibility of taking a life intentionally. This is why even though a sotapanna is extremely unlikely to take a human life, it is not ruled out. A sotapanna is absolutely incapable of killing parents or an arahant. Now, there are some key deep issues as to how a sotapanna is prevented from killing an arahant, because one is not able to see whether another human is just a normal person or one with maggapala. I hope to discuss this at a later time when we have discussed enough of deeper dhamma. Now, going back to the Mahachattarisika Sutta, the other key point is that the word Veramani is used in the mundane version, if you noticed. What this implies is that one makes a determination to be like an arahant one day in the future, to give up immoral speech completely and without a trace someday in the future. Now, after discussing the two versions of Samma Vacha, the Sutta discusses the differences between Samma Kammanta for the mundane and the Noble Eightfold Paths. The differences are the same as those for the Samma Vacha, whether one has comprehension of Tilakkhana or not. At any of the eight steps, the difference between the mundane and noble paths is one's mindset, whether one has the anicca sanya, dukkha sanya, and anatta sanya. Sometimes Buddha talks about asubha sanya as well. So there can be more than three characteristics. If you include asubha sanya, that makes it four. Key point is that one on the mundane path has not removed any of these sanya vipallasa. We talked about the sanya vipallasa in the third desana, I believe. So the differences between the mundane eightfold path and the noble eightfold path are made clear in the discussion of samma vacha and samma kammanta in this sutta. But the differences in other steps are along the same lines. Now we will change tracks and talk about another important issue. There are two key verses that are mentioned in many suttas. One is Uppada Vayatthena Anicca and the other is Yankinchi Samudaya Dhammang Sabbantang Nirodha Dhammang. Many translators analyze these two verses to give similar meanings. With the background that we have established, we can now see the difference between these two verses. In the fourth desana, we discussed the verse Uppada Vayatthena Anicca. It describes the nature of a sankata. Each sankata that arises will be destroyed, and that is one aspect of the anicca nature. Nothing in this world is forever. On the other hand, the verse Yankinchi Samudaya Dhammang Sabbantang Nirodha Dhammang has an entirely different meaning. That verse describes how to stop those unstable and unpredictable sankata from arising in the first place. The correct translation of the verse යංකංචි සමුදය ධම්මං සබ්බන්තං නිරෝධ ධම්මං is whatever dhamma that arise in the world can be stopped from arising. In the previous desana, we learned that we create the seeds for our own future lives by our own abhisankara. These abhisankara lead to the establishment of vijnana in the kamma bhava. Now, this is a fancy way of saying that kamma bija that can give rise to future bhava or existences and therefore future births are created by our own abhisankara in our minds. It is important to understand the true meanings of key Pali words like sanya, vijnana and sankara, etc. Dhamma with a long A is another important word, which means the same as kamma bija. These key concepts were discussed in the first few desanas in this series and are also discussed in detail in latter subsections of the Living Dhamma section. As we know, abhisankara are three types: manosankara, vachisankara and kayasankara. With those, we automatically think and then consciously think and speak and also do things with our physical bodies. So it is important to realize that any type of sankhara arise in our minds. We, or more accurately our gandhabhas or mental bodies, just use the physical body in order to speak out and also to do things with the physical bodies. Those dhammas are essentially kamma bija that are created in the sankhara paccaya vijnana and vijnana paccaya nama rupa steps in the paticca samuppada. Now, if you don't really understand this point, you may want to go back and listen to the earlier desanas and also read relevant posts. Since we ourselves create those dhammas in our own minds, we can stop generating them too. This is the key to nibbana. So now, let us analyze the verse yang kinchi samudaya dhammang sabbantang nirodha dhammang. Samudaya is the key word in this verse. Samudaya comes from two words, sun and udaya. As we know, sun is a key word in Buddha Dhamma, which are basically defilements in our minds. Lobha, dosa, moha. Udaya means to arise. Therefore, sun udaya, which rhymes as samudaya, means that arises due to sun. Therefore, samudaya dhamma means dhamma that arise due to the sun. So these samudaya dhamma are the kamma bija that arise in our minds due to our own defilements or sun. In other words, our own sankhara give rise to these kamma bija. Let me repeat this all important point. Our own sankhara give rise to these kamma bija, which in turn give rise to future rebirths. Now, the next part of the verse is sabbantang nirodha dhammang, which means all those dhamma can be stopped from arising. Since we create our own kamma bija, we can also stop them from arising in the first place. So let me repeat the translation of the complete verse now. Whatever dhamma or kamma bija that arise, they arise due to our own sun or defilements or lobha, dosa, moha. Therefore, we can stop them from arising. You may want to hit the pause button and let this idea sink in. Whatever dhamma or kamma bija that arise, they arise due to our own sun. Therefore, we can stop them from arising. This is the Buddha's solution to the problem of suffering. As long as we keep fueling the rebirth process by generating kamma seeds for future lives, our suffering will continue. Dhamma here are the kamma bija or vijnana established in the kamma bhava via our abhisankara. This is very important to understand. So we will discuss this in a bit more detail. Let us take some example that we took in the last desana to analyze this situation. As we discussed, a large oak tree will not arise unless there was a seed in the first place. Now we see that when one attains the arahanthood, one stops making new karma bija or seeds for future births. Just like an oak tree will not arise without a seed, we will not have a future rebirth in any of the 31 realms if corresponding karma bija are not present. However, even an arahant will have karma bija that were created before attaining the arahanthood. So how is it that those karma bija do not give rise to rebirths? The key is that there must be suitable conditions that need to be satisfied for those karma bija to germinate, so to speak. Again, we can use the seed analogy to clarify this second aspect also. We can keep a seed without even germinating for thousands of years in a cool, dry place. However, if we take that seed and plant it in the ground and provide water and sunlight, then it will germinate and grow to become a tree. Even though an arahant will not produce any more karma seeds or karma bija, he or she would have existing karma bija created previously in the life and also in previous lives. Those old seeds, in principle, can give rise to new births. However, just like a seed will not give rise to a tree unless a suitable conditions are present, all those existing karma bija will not give rise to new births for an arahant, because suitable conditions will not appear for them to germinate, so to speak. When one attains the arahanthood, two things happen. One will not generate any more karma seeds or karma bija. That is the first thing. The second thing is that one will not let an existing karma bija to germinate and to give rise to a new birth. For example, Angulimala killed almost 1,000 people. Then within a couple of weeks, he became an arahant. So all those karma bija were there, and probably millions of other karma bija from previous lives as well. But he would not grasp a new bhava or one of those karma seeds at the moment of death. The paticca samuppada will not get to the upadana paccaya bhava step because he would not upadana anything in this world. In fact, there will be no akusala mula paticca samuppada cycle even initiated for an arahant. Therefore, even if millions of karma seeds may be there, not a single one gets to germinate. Now we can see the full meaning of the verse, Yankinchi samudaya dhammam, sabbantam nirodha dhammam. All dhamma that give rise to things in this world can be completely neutralized so that arising of all sankata can be stopped. This means one's world can be stopped from arising. Of course, the world will be there after the parinibbana or death of an arahant, because there are an infinite number of living beings at any time powering the world, so to speak. However, that suffering-filled world would not exist for that arahant after the death or parinibbana. So we can see how interconsistent Buddha Dhamma is. It is a pleasure to be able to explain each of these wisdom-filled verses from various suttas. However, one must be familiar with the fundamental concepts to be able to figure out these deep meanings. In order to fully understand what we discussed above, one must have a good idea about Dhamma with a long A, which are really Kamma Bija. This was briefly discussed in the Desana number 2. Let us talk about it a little bit more just to make sure. By the way, it is also a good idea to read the post, What are Dhamma? A deeper analysis. What are those things in this world that we crave for? All of them can be lumped into one category called the Rupa. So let us discuss this Rupa in order to get a deeper understanding. Now, Rupa are not merely objects that we see. Those that we can see are called rupa-rupa, or varna rupa to separate from other types of rupa. They are things made of solid matter. They are people, trees, mountains, etc. that we see with our eyes. Seeing of rupa rupa is called chakku vijnana in Pali. Those types of rupa we can also touch with our bodies. This touching sensation is of course different from the seeing sensation. Even though our touching sensation is not able to identify the object as clearly as the seeing of sensation, it is a totally different sensation. When we see something, we only get the mental input of what it looks like. But touching is physical contact with the body or kaya. We can feel the texture of the object. We may generate a good feeling when we touch a soft cloth, but it is painful to come into contact with the tip of a needle. Whatever we touch is called pottabba, and the touching sensation is called kaya vijnana in Pali. Then we can also touch such material things with our tongue and taste them. This tasting of some types of rupa is called jivha in Pali. That is a different sensation than the touch with the rest of the body. We can feel whether something tastes good or not. This is called jivha vijnana in Pali. When we smell things, that is also by direct contact with solid matter. Even though only very fine particles enter the nose and provide that smell sensation, which is called Gandha Vijnana in Pali. So we see that seeing is different from touching, tasting and smelling. In seeing objects, we don't make direct contact with the object. Light bounces off the object and come into contact with our eyes. Then an imprint of what the object looks like is registered in one's mind. Then there are sounds that we hear, which is called sota vijnana in Pali. Here again, our sense contact is indirect, like in seeing. When we hear a dog barking at a distance, that sound reaches our ears as vibrations in air. Therefore, all sense inputs to us via the five physical senses originate in a material object. Chakku vijnana or seeing arises due to a material object. A sound is emitted by a material object, whether it's a dog or a train. With our five physical senses, we experience the outside world that is made up of physical objects. In addition to those five physical senses, we also have a sixth sense faculty, which is unknown to science. This is the mana indriya located in the brain. What is detected by this mana indriya are called dhamma with a long A at the end. This is different from dhamma as in Buddha dhamma. Dhamma are basically our memories and hopes and dreams for the future. Those dhamma that are detected by the mana indriya are also rupa, but which cannot be seen and therefore are called anidassana rupa. Just knowing that basic fact is enough for our discussion here, but those who want more information can read the post, "What are dhamma? Those are rupa too." Those rupa that are detected by the five physical senses are in our physical world. Those things that we can see, hear, touch, smell and so on. Those dhamma that we detect with our mana indriya are in our manoloka, which is experienced by the mind via the mana indriya. So you may want to read the post, "Our two worlds, material and mental." All those six types of rupa, including dhamma, are called external or bahijja rupa. The only difference is that dhamma are rupa lying below the Suddhashtaka stage. They are just energies, not yet condensed to the Suddhashtaka stage. You can read about those details in the above post and other posts referred to in that post. We detect those six types of external rupa with the six types of internal rupa. We normally consider our eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and the body as internal rupa that we use to see, hear, etc. However, while those physical sense faculties help us experience the external world, actual sensing is done by our mental body or the Gandhabha, which has six very fine rupa called pasada rupa created by kamic energy. So it's okay to take the combined two sets, the physical sense faculties and the set of pasada rupa, to be our internal rupa. As far as rupa are concerned, there is nothing else in this world other than those six types of internal rupa and the six types of external rupa. This is important to understand. We use those internal rupa to experience the six types of external rupa and thereby to generate mental impressions of them. Those mental impressions are included in the four mental aggregates of Vedana, Sanya, Sankara and Vijnana. So the Rupa Kanda give rise to the other four aggregates of Vedana, Sanya, Sankara and Vijnana. Of course, the combination of internal and external Rupa belong to the matter aggregate or the Rupa Kanda. For now, let us just focus only on the Rupa Kanda. In the last desana, we discussed why all rupa are called sankata. The word basically means something that arises because of our sankhara or due to our sankhara. We discussed how sankhara give rise to sankata in that desana. So I hope it is clear that dhamma are rupa and they are also sankata. They are created by the mind. In a way, they are the most important sankata because they are the ones giving rise to future rebirths. They are called anidassanam appatigam dhammayatana pariyapanna rupam, or rupa that cannot be seen or grasped or detected by normal means but can be detected only by the mana indriya. You may want to read the post anidassana vijnana, what it really means. That and other relevant posts discuss further the connection between vijnana and dhamma or kamma bija. So when one gets to these deeper levels, one starts seeing those deep connections, and that makes one joyful. There is no joy that can even come close to the joy of dhamma, understanding the true nature of this world. It is at this point that one becomes joyful and not depressed about the possibility of getting away from this suffering-filled world. It is like a dense fog being melted away. One starts seeing the true nature. This is the yathābhūta jñāna that the Buddha declared upon attaining the Buddhahood. I will just mention a few more verses that express these key ideas. For example, Venerable Sariputta, before becoming a bhikkhu, attained the Sotapanna stage when he heard the following verse from Venerable Assaji. Ye dhamma hetu pabbava, te sang hetun satagato ah, te sancheyo nirodho, evang vadi maha samano. When we translate that, it reads, those dhamma that give rise to rebirth or punabhava arise due to causes, and these causes the Tathagata or the Buddha has explained as the three sons, lobha, dosa, moha. He has also explained how to stop them from arising. So that is the meaning of that verse. You may want to think about this verse and see whether it's possible to see this meaning in that verse. We can discuss this in the discussion forum. In particular, the word hetu pabbava has a deep meaning. It comes from three words, hetu, pa, and bhava. Hetu means causes, pa means repeated, and bhava of course means existence. So that single word means causes for future existences. This was also discussed in the post Pabassara Chitta, Radiant Mind, and Bhavanga. Then there is the following popular verse too. Imasming sati idam hoti, imasa uppada idam uppajati. Imasming asati idam nahoti, imasa nirodha idam nirujjati. Again, we can discuss this and any other related verses at the discussion forum if anyone is interested. We have discussed the required fundamental concepts in this set of desanas. I also want to mention that a systematic progression to deeper aspects of Dhamma is presented at the Living Dhamma section. Those posts refer to other sections at the website for additional details. The last subsection on Nama and Rupa to Nama Rupa is at the deepest level. If anyone has unresolved questions, they can refer to that section, and of course we can also discuss at the discussion forum. Now, there are even more deeper explanations of the anicca nature, and those we can discuss at a later time. For example, in the Girimananda Sutta, the Buddha asks Venerable Ananda the question, Katamancha Ananda Sabba Sankharesu Anicca Sanya, or Ananda, what is the correct perception or Anicca Sanya about all types of Sankhara? Then the Buddha provides the answer. Idha Ananda Bhikkhu Sabba Sankharesu Attiyati Harayati Jiguchati. Ayam Vuchati Ananda Sabba Sankharesu Anicca Sanya. Translated, it says, Ananda, all Sankhara are like meatless bones without substance to be rejected like urine and feces. That is, Ananda, how one should perceive all types of Sankhara. So the Buddha compared all types of Sankhara as being useless, without any profit, and even more, to be discarded like urine and feces. However, it is not possible for one to really grasp this deeper aspect of anicca nature until one gets closer to the anagami stage. Until then, we all have the sanya vipallasa, that at least some sankhara can lead to happiness. We have discussed sanya vipallasa in the third desana. So we may discuss this deeper aspect expressed in the Girimananda Sutta at a later time. It is not needed for the Sotapanna stage. This concludes the initial set of five desanas on Tilakkhana. May the blessings of the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha be with you always.